Let's open our Bibles, please, to John chapter 18. John 18. So much appreciate our college students. Today is the last Sunday service for the majority of them, so please be certain to thank them for being part of our church ministry during the school year and pray for them as they some return home, some to different ministries, some working jobs during the summer, but just pray for them as they go. But we appreciate them helping us with the children's church ministry as well. We're in John chapter 18. This morning, our primary text will be only two verses, the last two verses of this chapter, John 18, verses 39 and 40. And we'll begin by reading our text. "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come to church today. Thank you for providing us with such beautiful weather on this Lord's Day. We thank you for every person that's assembled here for this morning worship service. Lord, we trust that the music has been a help to our souls and has prepared us, Lord, to hear your voice through your word. We ask for the help of your Spirit. We ask for his inspiration and filling to guide our thoughts and our words, to communicate your word in a very clearly understood way that it would help us the most. I pray that we would be ready to hear and respond to your word as you speak to us. Please do bless in the children's ministry during this hour. We pray that your word would have free course there and just reach the hearts of the children. Please do help us to honor you, Lord, throughout the remainder of this service by how we give attention to your word and then as we respond to it in faith. Lord, help us to recognize this morning that not only must we receive your word, but it must be received in faith. It must be received as it is in truth, the word of God, if it is to effectually work in our hearts. And I pray that we would gird up our spiritual loins this morning and lay hold on the truth of your word and receive the help that it has for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You look into the world's history, you'd have to conclude that there have been some very foolish trade-offs, some very foolish exchanges that have been made that have come with devastating consequences. I mean, you could begin with Lucifer. Lucifer, that bright angel and the third of heaven's angels that followed him in his rebellion against God. What did they give up? They exchanged God and heaven for what is going to be eternal hell and the lake of fire. That's a foolish trade. That was a dumb trade. Well, following that same pattern, listening to the devil, Adam and Eve, our first parents, traded fellowship with God, purity, and innocence. For what? For sin, for guilt, for death. And unfortunately, mankind and all of creation have suffered ever since because of a foolish trade by those even in the past, and yet we haven't learned from it because still today people make that same ultimate choice in rejecting God and choosing their own way to their own destruction. Well, in our text this morning, we have the example of the Jews, the nation of Israel, choosing Barabbas, who was a murderer, in exchange or in the place of Jesus, who was the Messiah, the one who had come to provide salvation for whosoever will. This choice to release Barabbas and to crucify Jesus was ultimately to trade good for evil, the Son of God for a son of the devil, life for death, heaven for hell. And really, there is no more foolish choice than to trade Jesus and one's own eternal soul for a short season of sinful pleasure that's going to end in eternal hell, eternal suffering. This morning for our message, we're going to consider this question together. Jesus or Barabbas? Jesus or Barabbas? What we learn this morning is going to teach us, first of all, that you and I must decide between Jesus, the Son of God and only Savior, and Barabbas, who pictures Satan, self, and sin. Even in the case of the Jews, this choice did not merely come down between a matter of two people, but really it was a choice of destiny. It was a choice of whether they wanted God's way or their own way, whether they wanted salvation or damnation. They were representative of more than just two people in one simple choice. And the same thing is true today. We must make the choice. We cannot have both. It is God or mammon. It is the Lord or the world. It is salvation or condemnation. It is heaven or hell. We must choose Jesus or Barabbas. Now, the good news is that God has given to each and every one of us the ability to choose even this very day which one it's going to be. We can choose between Jesus or Barabbas. And even as Christians, we need to make up our minds that it's going to be Jesus only. We want nothing of Barabbas or of what he represents. Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell or the gods of your fathers that dwelt on the other side of the flood. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, in a sense, chose Jesus. He says, I don't want Barabbas. I'm going to follow the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he hath said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And by way of application, we could say this, now is the time, and today is the day for each and every one of us to make up our minds once and for all whether it's going to be Jesus or Barabbas. So let's consider from our text this morning three ideas related to this thought, this question of Jesus or Barabbas. We'll note, first of all, the custom. Secondly, the choices. And then thirdly, the cry. So let's begin with the custom. Verse 39, Pilate says, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. So during this Passover celebration, the Jews followed a custom where the governor would release to freedom a prisoner of the people's choice. Not that he was a prisoner to their choice, but he would be released by their choice. Okay, this was similar to today when around Christmas time, the United States president will pardon or reduce the sentence of certain prisoners. For the Jews, this custom had great significance. Again, it was at the Passover that they did this. And this custom was a reminder to all the Jews how at the original Passover, the original event that they looked back to, they themselves were released from bondage and slavery. They were set free ultimately by the shed blood, the slaying of that Passover lamb. And so here they're going to set someone free to be reminded and be able to take the opportunity and say, God, thank you. You have set us free. You set us free by that shed blood, and to show our gratitude, we're going to set someone else free. We're going to release them even as you have released us. Unfortunately for the Jews, as we're going to see in our text this morning, rather than using this as an opportunity to show their love for God and their gratitude to Him for saving them out of slavery, they're going to use this custom to show their bloodthirsty hatred for the Son of God, the very Passover Himself, whose blood would be shed to set them free. The irony in all this is really quite amazing. There's the custom. Secondly, there are the choices. Verse 39, the last sentence is a question. Pilate says here, will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? I want to read from Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 19. It says, now at the feast of the Passover, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, or whom they desired, whom they willed. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just or that righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And then Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 10. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him and had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. So they have this custom. Pilate is very aware of the custom. And so Pilate sees this as his opportunity to release Jesus from custody. Pilate had come to realize through his short time of interaction with Jesus and then through a testimony and witness from his own wife that Jesus was both innocent and righteous, and that the only reason the Jews had sought to arrest him and delivered him into the custody of the authorities was because of their envy toward him, that he was taking their popularity, their following, specifically the Jewish leaders. And therefore, Pilate, following this custom, gives the Jews two choices of prisoners for release. This should have been what we would describe as a no-brainer. This didn't require much intelligence to decide which one was more worthy of being released. On the one hand, you had the sinless Christ, as Pilate refers to him, the King of the Jews, who had never done evil. He had only done all things well. He went about doing nothing but good throughout the land of Israel. He was a blessing everywhere he went. He was a blessing throughout the nation and to the nation of Israel, as well as to the Romans who occupied Israel. On many occasions, Jesus ministered even to those people. So here's a sinless, righteous Messiah, the Son of God, who had done nothing but good. On the other hand, there is a notorious prisoner, Barabbas. The last sentence of verse 40 tells us that Barabbas was a robber. So Barabbas was a robber. The other gospel accounts inform us that Barabbas was a rebel. He was a robber, he was a rebel, and he was a murderer. He was a known menace to society. He had robbed people of their money and things. He had led an open rebellion against the government. And in the process, he had committed murder, very likely not just against one person, but very likely he had been responsible for the innocent deaths or the deaths of many innocent people. And so here are the choices: Jesus or Barabbas. Now, the irony in these two choices is interesting. The name Barabbas means son of his father. Bar meaning son of, like Simon Bar-Jonah, or Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Barabbas, the word Abba, is father. So it means son of a father, son of his father. Well, Barabbas, whose name means son of his father, well, he was like his father. He was like his father, the devil, whom Jesus said was a murderer from the beginning. So you have a son of his father, Barabbas, a son of the devil. And he was just like his father. He was a lust-filled murderer. And then you have Jesus, who is literally the son of the Father, the Son of God. The choices. And we need to understand that just as Pilate gave these people a choice between Jesus and Barabbas, So God gives to every person a choice in whether or not to receive or reject His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He places it before every one of us. And here's the choices. It's Jesus or Barabbas. It's the perfect, sinless Son of God, the Son of the Father, the only Savior. Or there's Barabbas, your life, your selfish ways, your rebellion against God, your sin, your rejection of what is right. God gives us that choice. The right choice is quite obvious. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. God makes the right choice very obvious to any heart that doesn't refuse His grace. But thirdly, this morning, let's consider the cry. The cry. Verse 40. Then cried they all again, which tells us that there's been more dialogue going on here than what's simply recorded. They cried all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Again, I want to read from the other gospel accounts. Matthew chapter 27, verse 20 through 23. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Mark 15:11 through 14. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, what will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? They cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And bear with me, I'd like to read one more portion, Luke chapter 23, verses 18 through 23. It says, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. So, though the right choice between Jesus and Barabbas was obvious, the Jews chose against their own nation and against their own souls. When given the choice, the people, being moved and persuaded by their envious chief priests and rulers, cried out, not just once, but being given the choice extended to them three times. Three times over, they cry out that Barabbas should be released. And, mind us, not merely that Jesus should be left in prison, but that Jesus should be crucified. It was not release Barabbas and keep Jesus in jail. But the choice went beyond that. It was release Barabbas and kill Jesus. Put him to death. And the people chose ultimately a murderer over the Messiah. They chose a son of the devil over the Son of God. Acts chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. You have Peter preaching. Spirit-filled Peter at this time. He said, the God of our fathers hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. One preacher said here, this shows the type of man that people desire when Christ is rejected. Sometimes today, this is the type of man that people desire in the name of their politics and religion. Certainly, it is the type of man that people desire to satisfy their craving for entertainment, for they, quote, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So many times the world says, give us Barabbas. We'd rather have Barabbas than Jesus Christ. Just as the Jews did here, many people ultimately choose Satan. They choose self. They choose sin over the Savior and their own soul. But as we mentioned in our introduction, this comes with great consequence. Because though sin may offer pleasure for a season, it ends with grief and regret and loss and guilt and ultimately eternal suffering. Jesus asked this question on one occasion in Mark 8:36-38. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Which, by the way, you're not going to get the whole world. So just quit trying. And lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Might I remind us that the Jews thought they're getting rid of this Jesus once and for all. But that's not the case. Because he would rise from the dead on the third day, he would ascend back to the Father's right hand, and one day he's coming again. And when he comes again, he'll not come as the Passover lamb. He'll not come as the Lamb of God. He will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he will destroy his enemies. And he will rule over this entire world with a rod of iron. And all those who rejected him will then be forced to submit themselves to him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in that day, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The same people that say, give me Barabbas, get rid of Jesus. One day Jesus is going to say, depart from me. You did not want me. I have no room for you. No room in my kingdom. No room in my heaven. There's one place for you in hell, which was originally created solely for the devil and his angels hath enlarged itself, the Bible tells us, to receive the souls of those who reject Jesus Christ. This was a horrible, horrible choice that these people made. And it is a horrible thing when someone rejects Jesus Christ. We also need to recognize the tragedy here in that the Jewish leaders, the Jews' own leaders and teachers who should have and who could have persuaded the people to choose the Messiah, instead moved them to reject him. Can you imagine that? What selfishness! What selfishness would lead someone to persuade one to reject the only way of salvation? That's what they did. Today, there are many false religions and false teachers who do this very same thing. They reject the true person and lordship of Jesus Christ, and ultimately, the devil is behind it. But also, as Christians, we need to be reminded here by the Jewish leaders moving and persuading the people that there is the element of human persuasion in whether or not people receive or reject Jesus Christ. We who have received Jesus ought to persuade others. We ought to move them to make the right choice. We have salvation. The choice that they make is not for our benefit, but if we truly care for their souls, we don't want them to go to hell. We don't want them to reject Jesus Christ. And so we ought to do what is within our ability to persuade and encourage others to come to Jesus Christ. Acts 2:40, Peter, again Spirit-filled, said, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." He challenges people, hey, turn around. You don't have to go that way. You can choose. You can choose Jesus. Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." 2 Corinthians 5:11, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Jude said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." God would not tell us to have compassion and to make a difference if we couldn't make a difference. Does that make sense? It's amazing how we can get so intellectually, you know, stupid when it comes to understanding and applying biblical truth. No, he said, have compassion and make a difference. It means, yeah, you can make a difference. Others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling implies persuasion. Satan is doing his best with his workers to persuade the hearts and minds of people, and we've got to pull against him. We need to do some persuading. Again, we need to consider here that sometimes God's own people today, His new covenant people, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we are in essence guilty of choosing Barabbas over Jesus. When we choose to place other people or other things before the Lord in our lives, we are guilty of a similar choice. Sometimes, instead of saying, "In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus," in essence, we say, "You can keep Jesus, give me Barabbas. I want what I want. I want my life, my will." Christians who give lip service to Jesus Christ, but who are more dedicated to their own pleasure, their own convenience, than being faithful to Christ, to His Word, to His church, to His work, have in effect chosen Barabbas over Jesus. And certainly we have a world around us that is constantly persuading and moving us to make that kind of a choice. We live in an anti-Christ world that says, choose Barabbas. You've got to have Barabbas. Barabbas will make you happy. This is what you want to fill your soul and make your life satisfied. And unfortunately, many times Christians fall for that lie. When we do that, it is idolatry. And it makes us God's enemy. James said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." John, the beloved apostle who penned this same book, recorded for us these words in 1 John 2:15 and following. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And John would end that beautiful letter with these words, 1 John 5:21, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Finally, we need to recognize what a great mercy this life-changing event was for Barabbas. He the murderer was released, while the Messiah is not simply going to stay in prison, but he is going to be executed, crucified in Barabbas' place. At Passover, of all times at Passover, Barabbas, a son of the devil, a slave to sin, was set free because the blood of Christ, the Passover lamb, would be shed. What an incredible turn of events this was for a rebel, for a robber, for a murderer, who deserved not merely physical death but eternal hell, but Jesus would die in his place. And Barabbas goes free. He goes free to live. He's not going to be charged for the same crimes over again. He can go home to his family and live a new life. He can start over. Because Jesus was taken in his place. And that is what Jesus Christ did for every single person here today. And the fact is, you and I can be set free if we will receive Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." God gives to every person a choice of Jesus or Barabbas. Let's be wise. Let's not choose against our souls, but let's receive Jesus so that we can be set free unto life. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, not merely to provide salvation to the Jews, but that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you that Jesus willingly allowed himself to be taken and nailed to an old rugged cross to shed his blood so that we who deserve that punishment could be declared righteous, set free, completely released from all guilt, every sin, and have eternal life. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, our God, should die for us? We stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean. But I pray today that you, by your Spirit, would move on the hearts of everyone gathered here today, that you would persuade us by your Spirit this very day to choose Jesus. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question? Have you repented of your sins and received Jesus Christ as your Lord? Have you come to that place where you saw the decision? It was one way or the other. It's in or out. It's sin or the Savior. And have you chosen Jesus Christ? Have you exercise that will to choose? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, I've never done that, but today God's Spirit has moved on my heart and I want Jesus today. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to make that decision right now." Is there anyone that would say, "Yes, that's the decision I'm making"? And by raising your hand before the Lord, God is witness, you would say, "Lord, look on me, the sinner. I receive Jesus Christ today." Is there anyone at all? You just raise your hand right before the Lord today. Anyone? Christian, does the way you spend your time, your energy, your money, show that you are choosing Jesus or Barabbas? Are you loving and serving the Lord, Or are you loving and living for the passing things of this world? Are you, as a Christian, choosing Jesus for yourself? And beyond that, are you being obedient to persuade others to receive the Lord Jesus, to choose Jesus over Barabbas? Who today would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart, and I've not been choosing Jesus, but beginning today, I'm going to choose Jesus over Barabbas in my life." If that's your heart today, would you quietly raise your hand before the Lord? You'd say, "I'm choosing Jesus." Thank you. God bless you. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Pray that we would be persuaded to make Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.